11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on the runway.
Hey folks, it's Monday, May 29th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 21 of the Beyond the Handle podcast. I'm your host, Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip, that's Slip with five eyes, or Slip. On today's show, I speak with Rochelle Davies. On Twitter, you can find her at Small Things Winnipeg, that's at Small Things WPG. She is a big time fan of the city of Winnipeg and goes out of her way to find those nooks and crannies in the city that aren't always obvious to tourists, as well as to some of us who live here. In fact, a lot of places that she mentioned, I was hearing about for the first time. Maybe I just need to get out more. But anyways, Rochelle is a big promoter of the city over there on Twitter, and we talk extensively about our city, and I get Rochelle to list a number of top fives in terms of places to visit, tourist places in Winnipeg, some day trips outside of the city, and so on. So if you want to learn a lot about the city of Winnipeg and gain some appreciation, then this is definitely the interview for you. We also talk about small things that you can do to make the city a better place, which is the idea behind At Small Things Winnipeg from Rochelle. Last week's episode was with David Sonnenschein, known as at Kopi Zero, KopieZero, and was also a really fun conversation, and talked a lot about the city of Winnipeg as well. So lots of appreciation for our wonderful city as we head into what is turning out to be a great summer. So check that out, as well as all previous episodes of Beyond the Handle. So with all that being said, let's get into the interview. This is Rochelle Davies, known as at Small Things WPG on Twitter, here on Beyond the Handle. All right, everybody, this is episode 21 of the Beyond the Handle podcast, and my guest today is somebody who I worked with for a number of years and who I have since kept in touch with over Twitter, and with her Twitter handle, which I think a lot of you follow on Twitter. She is known as at Small Things Winnipeg. To me, before she was on Twitter, she's known as Rochelle Davies.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me on today.
It's great to have you here. It had been a while since we'd actually conversed, and then about 2 days ago, we bumped into each other on the street after work, so
it's a precursor to today.
Exactly. So it's been a couple of days since I last saw you, but prior to that, a few years.
And
so
we are looking marvelous, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I think. Well, you are.
We're both looking marvelous.
Looking all right.
Marvelous.
So, how have you been?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good. Yep.
Keeping busy?
Always. There's always so much going on in Winnipeg, so always lots to do.
So your Twitter handle, Small Things Winnipeg. Talk to me about the origins of this handle.
So Small Things Winnipeg started off, and my original goal was to get 50 followers. I thought, I'm going to get 50 followers, and then I'm going to quit. And then I just, as everybody knows, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, all that, it's addictive. You just keep going. Can't stop yourself. So Small Things Winnipeg is part of a little bit of a personal mission that I have that I call Small Things Now. And the purpose of Small Things Now is just to try and bring awareness to the fact that people do have, you can bring forward sort of your own personal causes and your own, what should I say? The purpose of Small Things Now is to empower people to realize that even small things make a difference. So you don't have to have a lot of money, or you don't have to have a lot of time. Just a little thing can make a really big difference. And Small Things Winnipeg, the Twitter handle, its particular purpose is to promote Winnipeg one small step at a time.
Okay. So you had, did you have the Small Things movement in mind before the Small Things Winnipeg?
I did. I've done some art workshops for kids that focus on empowerment and social responsibility, and I've got kind of another thing. So I've got a few things going on. It's not huge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that I'm able to spend a lot of time with, but it's just something that I think is really important.
So if someone out there has a kid and they were interested in doing such a workshop, what kind of activities would you do?
I do a torn paper mosaic project, and what I do is I talk about what it means to be a giver, and I talk about philanthropy, and I talk about social responsibility, and I talk about how you can be a giver and you can contribute to your community without having to be an adult or without having to have a lot of money. So what I do is we talk about what social responsibility actually means, and we talk about some, you know, we use some basic examples like participating in Terry Fox Run, recycling, all the stuff, you know, We Day, which happens now and didn't happen when we were kids. And then I talk about, you know, how even just being a good friend or standing up to a bully or helping pick up trash in your neighborhood, how that really makes a big difference, especially if everybody does one small thing. And then we all make a torn paper mosaic picture of what we'd like to give to either another person or to our community or to our school or the world or our family or friends or whatever. That's what we do.
Was there a specific event that motivated you to start the Small Things movement?
You know, yes and no. I took a fundraising class in university and like how to be an effective fundraiser. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to have a lot of money? And I would, you know, I'd give it to art galleries or museums or whatever I decreed something that I was interested in. And I don't have a lot of money and it's not looking good anytime in the near future. So it really got me thinking and it got me thinking about, well, what about small things and do small things really matter? So I spent some time thinking about it and I did a little research and that's what happens. So every now and then I take up something new and I just try and get it out there that really just a small thing makes a big difference.
Okay. I asked you about kind of hashtags or topics from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So you also mentioned a lovely things statement.
Yes.
So what lovely things do you like to talk about on social media?
It's usually personal, you know, and I think that I just like to sort of take a moment and give a shout out or just say, hey, you know, this happened and this was lovely, or I was here and this was lovely, or I ate a really delicious muffin and it was lovely, because it is, and because it's sort of a neat thing to focus on. And sometimes people will get back to me and say, you know what, that is lovely, and I'm going to go have a muffin too. And mm-hmm. I think that's great.
I've written actually throughout here, you've mentioned a lot of things around Winnipeg. So I think every once in a while we talk today, I'm going to jump over and get you to list me some stuff.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm going to ask you lists of five if you can, but I know it's hard to think on the fly necessarily, you may not want to exclude anybody, so feel free to break the rule of five if you want to. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, off the top of your head, can you name five of your favorite local businesses?
Oh, you bet I can. So I'm going to have to start with Constance Pop Chocolatier, because her chocolates are delicious. And she's a lovely person. She's always doing great things downtown. Great things in her shop and bringing in musicians. And it's chocolate. Everybody loves chocolate.
So where do you find them?
At her store, which is on Provencher in St. Boniface area.
Okay.
So just outside my downtown world, but close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah. I love Tara Davis Studio. I think she also is a really great woman, and she has a lot of great local talent and a lot of Canadian talent, and that's really cool. For great local food, I love food. I spend too much time eating. I think for great local food, the newest place that I really like to spend time at is Fools and Horses, which is on Broadway.
Okay.
They have magical toast. It's magical. There's all sorts of things.
I was telling you before we started, we were hosting people from out of town at work.
Yeah.
So for the first night, it was just one person up from California, and I was like, where can I take them? We ended up going to Stella's, which is a pretty, you know, not exactly stretching it in terms of like something that's a good choice. But my motivation was simply so that when I went to work the next day and told people where I took them, they wouldn't be like, you took them where? I actually, and I have to confess, the last time he was in town, one of the places I took him was the cells.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, the cells. Nothing wrong with the cells. Yeah. Nothing wrong with the cells. No, totally.
But sorry, so the best or a great toast, if I want it again, is?
Fools and Horses.
Okay. Do you have a couple more?
I do. So I'm gonna stay in the coffee range. I would say Make Coffee and Stuff on Cordon. Okay. Really cool place. Always lots of cool people. And what I really like about them is they show local artists, local architects and designers, and they probably have some of the best pour over coffee in town. And I'm not done yet. I think everybody has to check out Leonard Taylor. He's got a pop-up shop downtown in the Exchange District. He'll fix your jeans and do something a little bit special. He makes amazing clothes. He makes handbags, and it's really a great place to stop into. I'm a bit of a paper fan, so I'm also going to have to give a shout-out to Tiny Feast because they have some beautiful little things. And I'm not done yet. Still have a few more. Mm-hmm. Café Ce Soir, again, a little bit farther out from downtown, but a really great focus on local food and just deliciousness. And I could keep going, but I'll, for the purposes of this interview, I'll stop there.
All right. So others that haven't been mentioned, it's just because I will just say it's because
we'll
I
just run out of time. There's so many great places, and there's especially now, there's really starting to be something for everyone. And I think that's really cool to see that kind of diversity.
And one thing to note, while I don't necessarily want to turn this into a corporate hatred show, you're not mentioning McDonald's and Tim Hortons and Earls and, you know, chains like that. It's that, you know, and again, nothing necessarily wrong with that, but there is a lot of local that you can also enjoy.
You betcha.
You moved here from Vancouver.
I did.
Which...
intentionally.
Yeah, the moment... first time we met, and I think a lot of people, I'm assuming, give you this a similar reaction, which is, really, like, the reverse of what normally happens.
Yes.
So what was your motivation? Why did you look at the map and go, Winnipeg?
It's a good question. So I really wanted to move to Montreal, and I don't speak French, which is kind of a barrier. And I was just finishing up university, and I was talking to one of my professors and said, what's the likelihood of Montreal? And she said, not very much, but how about Winnipeg? It has a really great French community. And I was like, Winnipeg, all right. You know, long story short, I didn't put a lot of thought into it. I've lived on the prairies as a kid, and I really love the prairies. I think it's a lot of beautiful people and a lot of beautiful places, great open skies. So I ended up in Winnipeg. In the middle of winter, would have got here January 1st, but got stuck in Brandon due to a snowstorm and ended up here January 3rd.
Lucky you.
I know.
Should have started a Lovely Things Brandon list while you were out there.
Next time.
did you enjoy Vancouver? Like,
I did. You know, it's still, I go there often. I have lots of friends there, and I think that's the point. There's something really great to be found wherever you go. People just have to take the time and look for it. If you're going to complain about something, move. Otherwise, do something about it or learn how to live with it.
Okay. You have described yourself as the worst flamenco dancer ever.
Indeed.
And this is actually a hobby I didn't know you were into.
It's almost as bad as my singing.
Together. Yeah. Okay. So when did you get started with this?
I started flamenco dancing. I've been doing it for about 7 or 8 years. Winnipeg has an awesome dance community, flamenco included. There's all kinds of great studios, and you can find Bollywood dancing, you can find ballroom dancing, you can find belly dancing, and of course you can find flamenco dancing. So there's a couple of great studios in town, and I've been doing it poorly for about 7 or 8 years now.
Do you perform?
Of course I
in
do.
In front of crowds?
Unfortunately, yes. They still cheer.
Is there somewhere in the next few months where you might be performing?
I'm not sure. Probably the next time we'll perform is in December, but I'll definitely keep you posted.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Yeah.
You also just went on a trip. We were, as we were arranging for this interview, you were through kind of the middle part of the United States.
Kansas City.
Kansas City. And you've noted here you would visit Kansas City over New York, though you do love New York City.
Love New York.
I've been to both, not very much time in Kansas, but have been. What do you enjoy so much about Kansas.
You know, Kansas is a lot like Winnipeg. It has big, old, beautiful buildings with a lot of character. It has a lot of, you know, really great friendly people, a lot of great food, but it's also really accessible. So, like I said, I love New York. I've been several times. It's a great, busy place and with lots of beautiful things. But the difference with Kansas is you can make your way around to more things. It is a little bit smaller and a little bit slower. So if you want to go to the museum, there's a good chance that you might have some floors to yourself. Or if you want to get into the best restaurant in town, all you got to do is let them know that you drove all the way from Winnipeg and they'll probably give you some champagne to boot. So it's a really beautiful city with lots of really neat things to do. It's clean, it's fun, it's really, really hot. And I would encourage people to take some time and spend some time on the prairies. It's beautiful prairie. It's a great drive. It's about 12 hours down I-29.
You did drive it?
Yeah, you betcha. 12 hours down I-29. You can stop in Omaha, Nebraska, which is another beautiful city, another beautiful prairie city, and have a great time in Kansas. It's
super fun. I did the drive about 5 weeks ago to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
So through Omaha, I had never, I stopped to get gas, but went through Omaha and then spent some time in Lincoln, which is a college town.
Yep.
And I was only there for one night, but it was an interesting night. It's Friday night.
Well, you're a football fan, right?
So. Yeah, I did. It was for a concert, but I saw the football stadium, which is an 80,000 seater. It's a huge college stadium. And people were cruising up and down the main drag, kind of like cruise night here, except more pickup trucks and more American flags flying off the back of the pickup trucks.
And open liquor, too, I think.
Yeah. Did you have barbecue in Kansas City?
Of course. We went to the former, so what was known as, it's now Kansas City Joe's, but it used to be Oklahoma Joe's, and it's really delicious, and I had heartburn for days, but so worth it.
So worth it?
Yeah.
Did you go to Tulsa, too?
I wanted to go to Tulsa. Tulsa's a really neat place, but we ended up not going there just because of tornado and flash flood warnings. So it's kind of something to avoid. So we ended up going to Manhattan, Kansas, which is a beautiful little town.
Okay. You've been to Tulsa before then?
I have not.
Okay. One of the listeners of this show is a native of Tulsa. So
hey!
Figured I'd suck up and at least ask. So next time for sure, right?
Next time. Tell me all the places to go in Tulsa.
There you go. Let's get to another list here. What am I going to ask you about? How about this one? We've talked about businesses, but let's talk about five favorite kind of sites in Winnipeg that you would recommend. And I'll challenge you, and I'm sure you'll very much be up to the challenge. Let's say things that aren't as obvious, like the legislature, the new Human Rights Museum, and so on.
That's such a great question. Thank you so much. You know, I love the little park that's right. There's a couple of small parks in Winnipeg that I think are just great. There's Bonnie Castle Park around Assiniboine, just off Assiniboine in between Maine and, I guess, Hargrave. And they do it up with flowers. It's just kind of a nice rolling hills. I think it's beautiful. I love the flower gardens in Assiniboine Park, which I know is quite popular. I think that is it Memorial Park? Central Park.
They've behind got, Portage Place?
Yeah, behind Portage Place. That's a really great space as well. All along waterfront, if you keep going through Stephen Juba Park and just sort of keep going along that little trail, I think that's a great place to walk and explore. Anywhere in the Exchange is really beautiful, but also there's some great streets around West Broadway neighborhood that people don't really think about. I love to sort of walk through West Broadway and then up, and you've got Stella's and the Sherbrooke Deli, and then you can go down and around and all through in there, and there's some big beautiful houses and shady trees, and it's really nice.
My colleague that came up from California, where they're having a big time water shortage, and he's from Fresno, so it's like
dry.
The driest of the dry, I think was just, and again, it doesn't feel like a rare thing to us, but just coming up in the summer and seeing how green everything is, and especially because they're staying closer to downtown where we have
lots of trees,
yeah, and I was actually felt a little pride about that this time around. Like usually when I bring people up to Winnipeg, I'm proud enough, though I do like to point out some quirky things about the city, but I felt like, oh yes, we have trees and green grass and you know, it looks beautiful
lots
in the summer.
Lots of flowers, all the, like, if you're a flower person, and there's just lots of great little green space to be, right? Even downtown, there's quite a bit.
And the first time I hosted them up here was a few years ago in the winter, so, which is a different thing, but coming up in the summer, I'm like, see, people are outside doing things, and we had
people are outside doing things in the winter.
No, well, yeah, it was minus 40, but I picked a bad time for him to come here. Where are some other places that you've traveled to that you've enjoyed? And again, maybe that's not necessarily the most obvious of spots.
You know, I've driven across Canada a couple of times, and I think there are so many great places, like Medicine Hat, Alberta. Really cool place. I went and met a girlfriend in Edmonton, and I had some of the best Mexican food of my life. And Edmonton, like seriously, Edmonton. And I eat a lot of food, especially Mexican food, so I consider myself a pretty good judge. I've also, I used to have to work in Yorkton, and Yorkton has this delicious little cafe deli that serves the best pierogies. And I know Winnipeg has got some pretty good pierogies going mm-hmm. on, but I could see a pierogi off, and it would be hard to choose a winner. I haven't traveled off the continent, but I have tried to spend a lot of time in the prairies and also on the West Coast where I'm from. So Bellingham, which is another small place, has one of the most beautiful seawalks you can ever imagine. It's right down on sort of a wood path made right, cut right into the rocky face of the ocean, and it's just gorgeous.
So this is Bellingham, Washington.
Bellingham,
right?
Washington mm-hmm. State. You got it. It's really beautiful. Seattle is really great. When I was a kid, we used to drive down the coast quite a bit because that was kind of a thing to do. So there's some great places in spaces where you wouldn't think that they're there, right? You have to look for it, mm-hmm. but sometimes you don't have to look very hard. You just have to, you know, try and go there.
Or we could just ask you for a recommendation.
Or you could just ask myself,
yeah. you have not had a TV since 1999.
Nope.
And you don't even watch Netflix.
I do not. I'm so lame.
I think people are starting to, you know, I think there's some people that envy you for that. Was there a conscious decision, or was it just there were better things to do?
No, I pawned my TV because I needed the money. And then I started to take classes at school. And I was like, well, it's really dumb to get a TV now, because then I'll just watch TV and I'll fail my classes. And this will go downhill fast. So I just never got a TV. And then it just kind of became a thing. I'm a bit of a radio fan. I'm a big podcast fan. Mm-hmm. And nope, no TV.
Do you feel connected enough to the pop culture world, despite that?
So I used to play little games, and I would try, because we talk about TV and we talk about TV shows and what's going on in social media so much that you can really stay connected. So I used to play little games, and I would pretend that I watched Desperate Housewives and Survivor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I could fake it. Like, people didn't know the difference that I didn't actually watch the show, but you could just kind of be like, oh, can you believe what happened on Big Brother last night? Oh, I can't believe she did that. And people would be like, I know.
Such controversy. I know. Why were they fighting? Yeah. Let's see here. So
I'd encourage everybody to take some time and watch a podcast. You can learn a lot.
Okay. Actually, there is one that I just subscribed to, and I think it's a pretty... It's actually, I think, a pretty popular one, so people might know it. And I think it's called Stuff You're Supposed to Know.
Oh, okay. I've seen that one. I haven't heard of it. I'll check it out.
Where every episode they just take some topic and they describe to you, like, you know, and it's like a random thing. It might be like a geography lesson, or, you know, how to fix your computer, or, like, cool. You know, something like that. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that one so far. But, yes, you can learn plenty from podcasts, yeah. Including, hopefully, Beyond the Handle.
Especially from Beyond that.
So let's go back to the small things for a second here. If you were to recommend to somebody, like, you know what, me, I want to do more small things for my community. What would be five things that you would recommend that I do right after this podcast?
Well, it depends on you, and it depends on what you're comfortable with, and I think that's an important part. You know, you need to do what you are comfortable with. I'm a little bit biased, but Steve LaFleur, who's on Twitter and also is the love of my life, recently wrote an article after a really violent incident occurred in the downtown area. And one of the things that I took home from the article was, hey, this is your space too. It makes, you know, when we don't, when we're not active in areas, they become less safe. So instead of complaining about it and saying, you know, what a dangerous place downtown is, go out, be there, make eye contact, smile, and interact with the people around you. And I think that's a really important but also really easy thing to do. And having traveled in lots of places throughout Canada and coming from Vancouver, that is one thing that I've noticed, and I've noticed a lot of change for the good. But when I first came here, you know, people didn't always make eye contact with you on the street or say hello. And it's a small thing, but you might be saying hello to somebody who hasn't had anybody talk to them in days, and you might just make their world, or you might make somebody who's walking home and feeling a little uncomfortable feel a lot safer just by being there and acknowledging their presence too. So that's one thing that I would say. Support local. That's a great way to get out there. And you can do fun things like drink beer and eat chocolate and still support local. And that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great festivals and events that happen. You can volunteer some of your time or a lot of your time. I think, you know, places like the Fringe Festival, you can do as few as, you know, 16 hours. Other organizations just appreciate for you to come out during the day for a one-shot deal. Also, just go to things. Art City Parade is happening this weekend. Go okay. out, give the kids a hand, and take some great photos. And, you know, it really depends on you.
Okay. I think, and you had listed a few other things here, and I think that a lot of this stuff is it should be obvious, but it doesn't always necessarily end up being that way. Holding the door for people.
Yep.
If you see something, like, pick up trash. That doesn't necessarily just mean, like, walk around, and though if you have time, definitely do it. But if you see trash on the ground, and it's not absolutely disgusting.
It's not disgusting,
like dog turds
safety
or something
first,
like that.
People. Safety
yeah.
first.
But, you know, pick it up. Don't flick your cigarette butts. I like that one a lot. Yeah.
And there's cigarette dispensers everywhere. It's just Vancouver has a thing about smokers, and I've seen strangers tell other strangers, like, hey, pick that up, especially on the beach or something. And this really is a beautiful city. It doesn't take that much to keep it clean.
You mentioned calling 311 if the street sign is not there or there's a light out.
Yeah.
There's a way to get, at least to notify the city.
Yep. And I find that makes a huge, huge difference. Like, you know, I start to tell friends, like, hey, like, if you see a street sign or something like that, just call 311. And people, their first response is, no, that won't make a difference. Actually, yes, it does. That's what 311 is for. It's, you know, they're super helpful on the other end of the line. And they're usually happy to say, okay, we've got that reported, and away they go.
And complaining about it doesn't turn that light back on.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
You may as well. Yeah, you may as well.
You
do
can complain
about it.
To 311. That's what they're paid for.
All right, let's take a little break from the interview to go through some housekeeping items and give you some information about this show. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can look us up at Beyond the Handle is the handle for the show. So definitely give us a follow there. We are on Facebook. Do a search for Beyond the Handle and we will pop right up there for you. If you are not listening to this show via iTunes or Stitcher, you can go to each of those platforms and subscribe to the show. Again, just go in and search for Beyond the Handle. We will pop up there for you. Click on subscribe and the new episodes will download to your device every week as soon as they are posted, which is nice, easy, and convenient. Of course, if you just want to hear a stream of a specific episode, you can also go to beyondthehandle.podomatic.com and you can find the show right there and listen to any episode that you would like to hear. If you'd like to email me and give me some feedback, recommend a guest, or if you'd like to be a guest yourself, I'd love to hear from you. The email address is beyondthehandle@gmail.com. And again, any feedback via Twitter or via email is very much appreciated. We are a part of the Garbage Hill Network of podcasts. This is Winnipeg's first podcast network and features a number of local podcasts from around the city of Winnipeg. You can give them a follow at Garbage Hill on Twitter, and their website is www.garbagehillnetwork.com. So with all that being said, let's get back into the interview. This is Rochelle Davies, known as at SmallThingsWPG on Twitter, here on Beyond the Handle. You have lived downtown the entire time you've been in Winnipeg?
I spent just a month or two in St. James when I first got here, and then another month in River Heights, just while I was trying to find a place to live, and then I've been downtown ever since.
And it's been close to a decade. It's about 8 years or something like that, right?
Got it.
So what kind of changes have you seen? What was it? What did you think of it when you first came, and what are you thinking of it now?
Well, when I first came, I was like, this is awesome. It's so close to work. I only have to get up like 20 minutes before I need to get there. So that was my first thought.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of new people come downtown, and I've also seen a lot of people who are new people as in people from outside the city and other places. But I've also just seen a lot of people, you know, who lived maybe out in the suburbs move downtown with a lot of the new construction that's been happening in the Exchange and also along Assiniboine and downtown, starting with the Avenue building. There's been just a lot more people coming, and it's brought a lot of great little spaces and restaurants. When I came, First Fridays hadn't started quite yet, or if it did, it wasn't very much, and it's gone from a few places to sometimes there's too many places and you don't have enough time to get to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen a lot more effort around little things like flower planters and keeping the fountains clean and keeping the grass cut down. So it's almost like the city has given back a little bit by, you know, adding a few little things to help, you know, keep things spruced up and nice and tidy. I know downtown Winnipeg Biz has a lot to do with that as well. All the farmers markets, food trucks on Broadway, best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
So in not very long, I've seen a lot of development to make it a more livable and walkable community. And I think that's great.
If somebody is only going by what they see in the news or, you know, possibly reputation of the city or just their own misconceptions, and if you think they're misconceptions, somebody asks you, is downtown dangerous? What would you say?
I would say it's not dangerous. You know, you can get stabbed and mugged in Vancouver, in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, in Kansas City. You can get, those things happen wherever there are people. I don't think Winnipeg is any more or less dangerous than any other city. And in some situations, it's a little bit more comfortable because you have a little bit of space. I'm not going to tell you to roam around in the middle of the night, you know, anytime you're doing something like that, you need to be aware, but no, it's not. And I always have a good time, you know, talking to all the people who are like, you live downtown, it's dangerous. I'm like, you know, it's not. And it's really beautiful. And there's lots of things that I can walk to, and it's great for my health because I can walk or take transit. So no, it's not unsafe.
Do you think that it's terribly noisy? Is you know, if you want quiet living, do you find that that's possible?
And you know, not I, and I live like right in a core building, like in a core area where there's lots of apartments, and no, not at all. It's we're pretty far away from traffic. There isn't a lot of traffic after hours. I think it's a really great spot to live downtown, and if people feel that it's dangerous, you know, get in touch and come down just during the day and check it out, because there's probably so much change that's happened in the last couple of years that people don't realize it. And I have a lot of friends that have moved to Winnipeg from other places, and they think it's great. So
how about access to, you know, kind of essential day-to-day services?
Lots of stuff. We've got dry cleaners. We've got, you know, UPS printing, and more stuff keeps coming. So it's definitely there. It's not, you know, it doesn't have all the amenities like some other big cities, but we're not trying to be a big city like everybody else. You know, Winnipeg still needs to be Winnipeg.
Okay. Let's go to another list.
Go to another list.
Why not here? Okay, this one's a pretty easy one. Just why don't you tell me your five favorite things about Winnipeg?
My five favorite things about Winnipeg. I really think it's a beautiful city. The buildings, the parks, even though the roadways can be a little bit crazy, there's a lot of beautiful buildings and beautiful spaces, especially downtown and in this area. I really love the diversity of spaces. So Cordon is very different from Osborne, which is very different from the Exchange District, which is very different from St. Boniface, which is so different from Wolseley. And all those places are really unique and stand out as individual characters. I love all of the different events that happen. There's so many times where there's so much going on that you literally, like, you can't always get to everything. And some things cost money and some things are entirely free. And I think it's great to have so many choices. That's really great. I like that Winnipeg is busy enough that there's a lot going on, but it's not so busy that you don't have to spend a month with waiting for a reservation somewhere. I like to walk into Albert Street Cocktail Bar at Friday night at 11 o'clock, and maybe I have to wait a little bit, and it's nice and busy, but I'll get a seat and my fancy drink, so that's good. And, and you know, I also really love the arts and creative community. Because you're not spending an hour and a half, 2 hours commuting to and from work, people do cool things. This is a cool thing. Mm-hmm. People make cool things. People are in bands and play music. So it just makes for some cool times. It's really enjoyable.
I used to be the type where it was like, there can't be anything cool happening in Winnipeg. Like, that's just the way that I used to think. And it really is just a matter of actually, like, taking some time. And not even a lot of it, just, you know, make an effort once a week or once every few weeks when you can to see something different and believe that it can be something fun.
Yep.
Or different. There are music clubs here. There are bands. I was talking last week with At Kopi Zero about the Fringe Festival, going to a Fringe play and finding a venue where you're like, holy smokes, like there's a theater here. I never imagined that there was anywhere to do public performance.
Yep.
So definitely, though, you know, even stuff in the Exchange, I didn't do a lot of until I moved back about probably 6 or 7, or no, it's been 9 years ago, but yeah.
And there's other little things too that, you know, really suits to all audiences. Like I know DJ Mama Cutsworth had a family friendly DJ party a while ago. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen during the summertime, but throughout the wintertime, every Wednesday and every Thursday, the Millennial Library, one day they have like an info session. So they'll have somebody talk about astrology. They'll have somebody talk about business economics, and then on Thursdays they have a noon hour concert, which is super fun. There's all kinds of really great stuff going on for everybody, literally. And you know, I think one of the reasons why I did start Small Things Winnipeg is when I first moved here, it was a little hard. And, you know, I didn't go to high school with everybody. And, you know, lots of stuff happens when you move that, you know, once you get settled in, you're kind of like, oh, I'm a little lonely. And, you know, it may, and I had some cold winters, and I was like, you know what? There is lots to do, and I'm going to make it a point to go out and find it, and I'm going to share it as best I can. So.
And when you moved here, you knew the person, you moved here with somebody at the time, right?
Yeah, I did.
So you knew that person.
Yep.
But otherwise, you didn't know many people here?
I knew that person. I had a few family members, and that was the people I worked with. That was it.
So for somebody that's relocating to a new town, which I've done too.
Yep.
And
it's hard.
And yeah, the same struggle that you're talking about. What would you give as advice to getting to know people and learning about your new community?
You know, the first thing that I do is I always look for poster boards, and I find every city has poster boards, and they'll post, you know, bands at clubs or comedy shows or, you know, other types of concerts or theater performances that are going on. So I think that's a good place to start. I think Twitter is a really great place to start. So if you just kind of hashtag your city or, you know, check out some local hashtags, it's also a good place to look and see what's out there. And sometimes you have to be the person to make the first move and just say, hey, I'm new here. What do you recommend? Mm-hmm. And it's surprising what people will come up with. And somebody might suggest something and you might go like, oh, that's lame. But maybe give it a try and see. You know, I'm an only child, not a big board game person. People used to give me board games when I was a kid. And I'd be like, what am I going to do with this? Play mm-hmm. with myself? It's not going to work. But somebody said, you know, you should check out Across the Board Game Cafe. And I went and I had a great time. You know, so sometimes you just have to say, okay, I'm just going to try it once. I don't ever have to mm-hmm. do it again, but I have to try it once.
I'm going to give three pieces of advice Please to people do. As well. One kind of similar to what you said, don't be afraid to talk to people. If you're in a setting and it's appropriate, don't be afraid to approach people and talk to them and get to know them. The second one is don't be afraid to go and see something by yourself.
Nope. Very true. You know, that's a good one.
Don't wait for someone else to go with you. Go out and do it on your own. If you can't find somebody. And the third one is don't be afraid. As you said, don't be afraid to use social media. When I lived in Ottawa, my first circle of friends that was outside of work, and I had wonderful work friends, but
People rule.
Yeah. but to get a circle of friends that's kind of detached from that world as well, if you need it, was through the power of MySpace.
MySpace.
created an Ottawa community on MySpace back when those communities were not a dime a dozen, and you learn about people and what's going on through that and
for sure.
find people with similar interests. And
those are great tips.
Hopefully you're off to the races, but just don't be afraid to do those things. Okay, we talked about the not obvious sights to see in Winnipeg, but mm-hmm. if I'm coming in from out of town, I've got 2 days and that's it, and I'm trying to whirlwind Winnipeg in terms of a tour, what would you say are some more obvious things that you would say people should see here?
I'm definitely going to have to recommend the Winnipeg Art Gallery. It's a beautiful space. It's always memorable, and they just sort of cram art into every little nook and cranny that they possibly can. I'm also going to have to say, go down to the Exchange. It's so cool. There's food and restaurants for all kinds of tastes, and it's just a really historic part of Canada that I think everybody should take a look at. I'm also going to probably suggest Assiniboine Park because mm-hmm. it's a, you know, coming from a place where we have Stanley Park.
Yeah.
I don't know. Assiniboine Park mm-hmm. has got a lot going on. So those are the three places that I would focus on because there's shopping and gallery touring and sightseeing and everything in between. If you're a sports person, don't forget we have Assiniboine Downs with some great horse races. And of course we've got Investors Group and the local teams, but if you just want some daily action, check out Assiniboine Downs.
I was actually looking up Assiniboine Downs last weekend.
You should go.
Thought I haven't been there in so long.
It's great horse racing.
You should check it out and play the ponies. I want to get one more list from you as well. Five day trips that you would recommend taking.
5 day trips that I would recommend taking. Well, people are really going to laugh, but I think that Brandon is worth a visit. There's a few neat bars. There's a really great cafe, the Sunflower Cafe. They have a great breakfast and it's a beautiful drive. If you take the time to just go slow and go through it, it's a beautiful drive.
Would one of those bars be Houston's?
Actually, Houston's. Oh, you can go to Houston's. There's a place downtown, and I wish I could remember. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's kind of like a faux English style, and it's not so bad.
Okay.
Can it be anywhere in Manitoba, or where? Anywhere, just any 5 day trips?
Day trips from
Winnipeg?
You can get to from Winnipeg, yeah.
From Winnipeg. Grand Forks. I know it's a hot spot to go to for Target and Best Buy and stuff like that, but downtown Grand Forks has some great things going on. They have a wine walk. They have a couple of craft beer places that are really great. I've never been to Kenora, but I really, really, really want to go because mm-hmm. I hear it's quite beautiful. I really like to spend some time going to the smaller summer fairs in Manitoba. Of course, there's the Corn and Apple Festival in Morris, but there's also the Honey and Garlic Festival in Manitou.
Okay.
There's the Plum Festival in Plum Coulee, which is Plum Coulee also has the largest still-standing, entirely wood grain elevator. It's
okay.
really beautiful. Yeah, you just never know. So that's a good one. And if you really want to stretch it, Regina, you can go and go check out
maybe
Regina.
An overnighter.
Yeah, they have a mustard festival.
In Regina?
They do.
Okay. Sure. What have you been?
I have not. I have planned to, so I've spent a lot of time researching it, and apparently Saskatchewan is one of the top mustard producers in the world.
I just, when you see mustard festival, I just see people eating hot dogs with mustard
on it.
That's
pretty much what it is.
All right. You know what? That sounds good enough for me. One more thing I'd say about Grand Forks, by the way, if you're a sports fan, is NCAA Hockey Division 1, and it is fantastic. The whole experience is great. It's a little pricey.
Isn't there something about the hockey arena itself? It's like a fabulous arena that, like, it's pretty luxurious considering
it's a college arena.
Yeah.
So, I've been to college arenas, which are nice, but not like NHL quality. So seating wise, it's a bit smaller. It's about 12,000 seats, but in terms of the luxury of the arena, it's like all marble floor. The seats are all the, you know, I don't think they're not like leather seats, but they're all, you know, kind of wide, nice seating in the arena.
Nice.
Sight lines are beautiful. There are bars, open bars, standing room on each side of the arena. Press boxes. Their scoreboard is actually the same as the one we had here. We just replaced the one at the arena here. So, but it's the same style. So it's it's full. It's full every Friday and Saturday that they're called the UND now. They can't use their old name.
Yes. Yep. Fair enough.
but yeah, definitely hockey worth seeing. One more, a local thing that I like here for sports fans too is go see a local hockey game. Yep. Go see MJHL.
Or baseball game right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you don't have to necessarily see the Jets, though I love seeing the Jets, but go see something local. Go watch people curl.
Yeah. Ringette. We have a great provincial ringette team.
Mm-hmm. Did you play ringette?
No, I didn't.
No, I'm getting you mixed up with another HR person.
I dance with a lady who plays ringette, and that's how I know we have a very successful ringette team.
Anything that you'd recommend people do over the course of the summer in Winnipeg?
Think about what you like. If you like hockey, if you like curling, if you like swimming, if you like art or music or poetry or, you know, different types of food. If you like Chinese food, write those interests down and throw it out there. You know, ask people on Twitter, ask people on Facebook, hey, I really like this. Does anybody have any recommendations? And see what happens. Give it a try. That's what I would say.
Okay. And I'll get you to do one more list. A little bit of a sadder question, but a hypothetical one. If you were ever had an opportunity to move back to Vancouver or to somewhere else, and you left our city, what would be the five things that you would miss the most about Winnipeg?
I would miss some of the beautiful sunrises. I would definitely miss all the coffee and sort of great little spaces that there are to go to. I would miss the... There was one night where I was out for like a First Fridays or for something, and somebody had made ice candles, and there was just a random group of people playing ukuleles on the street corner, and it was minus 35, and they're playing their ukuleles. I will miss those little events and little moments that just kind of happen just like that. I will miss being able to get from the Exchange District to Cordon in about, you know, a 25-45 minute walk if I move it.
And a nice walk too.
And a really beautiful walk. And I'll miss being able to, you know, pop into the underground to escape the winter wind. I think that's an underused service that people need to use more often.
Mm-hmm. So don't take those things for granted, Winnipeggers.
No!
We've got a lot of lovely and small things here that you can enjoy. You've spoken about a lot of things, and I've asked you to list a lot of pieces. So before we wrap things up, is just give you one more moment where anything that you'd want to plug or direct people's attention to about our city, just so that, you know, 15 minutes from now when we're off the air, you're not like, damn it, I wish I'd mentioned this.
Oh, it's still going to happen anyways, no matter what. You know, I think that no matter where you are, you have the chance to make a difference. You have the chance to do something large or small, depending on your ability, that really makes a difference. And at the same time, I bet you're going to enjoy it because it feels good, whether it's buying a chocolate bar from a local lady or helping out at a local soup kitchen or something even crazier than that. You're really going to enjoy it. So I would say give it a try, and thank you so much for being in Winnipeg and for being a part of this city, because it takes everybody. It really does.
Perfect. So, Rochelle, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you. Hopefully, to ask five things of you?
If you want to.
Yeah, so this is podcast number 21.
21.
21. What have been
We're of legal age in the United States now. We're 21.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
What have been your five favorite moments?
Oh, my goodness. Five favorite moments. I have a couple the very first show that I did, which was with, Big Pappy Peg City.
Nice.
His name is Riddell Batista. And, we were talking about, growing up, playing sports, but, being Filipino.
Cool.
And, he was talking about a moment where he was getting, I guess, teased or, you know, whatever, like he was a kid. And I'll never forget, and I'm going to do the
kids
quote.
Are jerks.
I'm allowed to do the quote only because he did it, because he used his accent. But my favorite line maybe ever spoken on this show is his father yelling it back to people and saying, "You fucking assholes, he was born right over there." And he points at the, at St. Boniface Hospital. And I was like, that's still my favorite, probably my favorite line spoken on this show.
That's pretty great.
When Melissa Martin asked me if we could swear on the show, and I was just so giddy, like immediately being like, of course you can swear. That's another one. And, I'll say one more. I interviewed, a guy that went to the same high school as me, but he was 8 years younger than me. His name is TJ Mon. And, he mentioned the lost and found box that I used to hang out with at the school, and he did as well. So you would never have heard somebody get so excited over lost and found box, but those are three immediately. But, I've been very happy with every guest. It's been easy to talk to people. It's easy to find people, who want to share about the city, which to me, I think is something really nice here. And, I have, actually over the last few months, pondered a few moves.
Yep.
Nothing's come to fruition, but have thought what ifs and how I would actually reconnect in another community with people to do something like this. And I know it can be done.
It can.
But it's nice to have that now.
Yep.
To have that exist and to be able to find such a diverse group of people today who will come and speak to me, but also to the rest of the city about anything that's of interest. So that's what I've enjoyed.
That's
about this.
Awesome.
Did I do a good job?
This is super fun. Thank you, Zach. You did a great job.
Maybe I'll have to have you. Thank you. Maybe I'll have to have you interview me when I do when I finally do the slip portion of this show.
When we get to 100.
Yeah. I was thinking 50, but maybe I can make it to 100.
You're so going to get to 100.
my friend Poops McKenzie, who I know you heard his episode, really wants to do that too. So he may insist, but you did a good job. You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
So there you go. This is Rochelle Davies joining us on Behind the Handle.
Follow me at Small Things Winnipeg.
At Small Things Winnipeg. And don't be afraid to reach out for advice on anything that we've discussed today, on making Winnipeg a better city, enjoying Winnipeg as much as possible, enjoying anything around Winnipeg, just enjoying your day. What can I do to make my day better? Rochelle, feel free to reach out and ask her.
Great. I'd love to hear from you.
And you've made my day better by joining me here today.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye, Winnipeg.
So there you have it. That was Rochelle Davies, known as at Small Things Winnipeg. Again, that's at Small Things WPG on Twitter. And after speaking with her, I definitely need to go out and explore more of Winnipeg, and I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. So it's a lovely summer. Go out and enjoy the city, and remember, do a small thing. Try to do something every day. If all of us do something small every day, we will definitely make this city a better place. The music for today's show was brought to you by a band Here in Winnipeg, they are known as Surprise Party. They released a new album in the last couple of weeks called Circle of Death, and this track is called Come Down. You can find them over on Bandcamp, and the link will be in the show notes. You can also find them on Facebook. Look up Surprise Party, and they will pop up there for you. They play shows around the city on a regular basis, and I've seen them. They are a pile of fun. You should check them out for sure. So thank you, everybody, for listening to Beyond the Handle, and we will see you all in a week.